See, not just now, but in any capacity, we share stories to build faith of how we've had breakthrough. It could be the story of how we initially met Jesus. It could be a story of how he's healed us or provided for us. And this week, we have Rachel, who's going to share a very, very recent testimony. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Many of you have walked through this with me, so you know some of the story or parts of the story. But back in beginning of July, end of June, I was diagnosed with thyroid papillary cancer. And this is kind of the story of God's healing and walking me through it. But while I was preparing, this fell out of my notebook. I keep a notebook and a journal of everything God's done. And it was the prophecies for Hope and Bristol. And it just seems to really tie in with his healing that he's doing around the city, because there's just so many incidences springing up everywhere, and there's going to be more and more. So this was from Laurie Dimmock in October 2014, which kick-started the release conference that Randy Clark was at. And it says, Bristol will be known as the healing capital of England. An outpouring of healing anointing is coming to this region, and songs of deliverance will be sung there. Seeds planted years ago have come to full maturity and are ready now to be harvested. Not a flash in the pan move, but a deep and lasting move of the Spirit of the living God is going to be released there. Winds of change are blowing, and a changing of the guard is coming to the church as well as to the political arena. Weeds are being uprooted that have been choking the life out of my children and distracting them from me. And then from that, God gave me the verse, which we all know, which is, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. And I just had such a sense that all our stories of healing, like Kat and Sophie and the ME stories we're hearing, they're all drops in that ocean of the rising tide, that so many prophetic words are coming. The waves are coming. The healing is coming. God is on the move. So my story was, I was diagnosed with papillary cancer. The GP accidentally found a lump. I wasn't unwell, wasn't feeling particularly great, but it wasn't necessarily linked to that. They sent me straight for a scan. As they were scanning me, they weren't happy with what they saw. There was a lot of calcification in the lump, so they went straight for biopsy. The lady doing the scan was pleased. She'd got enough cells for it to be a clear result for when they sent it to the lab. And then there was the wait, you know, and like with all stories like this, although God had, I'll go back to this in a minute, God had given me many words preparing me for this, so that when it came, although it was a shock, it wasn't necessarily a surprise, and faith rose to get through it and to stand and believe for healing, but there were still the moments where you're frightened and when you cry, and I just want to share some of the stuff that he gave me to get through it in a bit, but I'm going to run through what happened first. So a week later, I met with a consultant who was a maxillofacial guy, and we got the results that it was 5 out of 5 on the thigh scale for cancer, which is pretty conclusive that it was cancer. And he said he wanted to move very, very quickly to remove the whole thyroid, followed by iodine radiotherapy treatment, and then thyroxine for the rest of my life. I checked at this stage and I said, are you sure it's cancer? Would you be prepared to do another biopsy and to scan again? And he said, no, with the result 5 out of 5, we're really sure we're just going to get the whole thing out. At the same time, I'd had a lung x-ray and they'd found a shadow on my lungs. I was a smoker at the time. I don't smoke anymore. God's delivered me from that too. So there was a lot of fear that could have crept in at this point. And at that point, he booked me in for the op 10 days later, and there was going to be no further scan. They just wanted to take the whole thing out with no further checks. But in between the biopsy and getting the results, I'd gone to a gathering called Limelight, and Kat Allen happened to be there, and I'd gone for my own healing because I kind of knew the minute they'd taken the biopsy, I knew. God had continually been giving me the verse beforehand that you will walk through fire and not be burnt, you will walk through water and not be drowned. And it came from several places independently with the sense of he knows what you're going through. You might not be rescued immediately out of it, you were going through. So I had this sense I was that no matter what treatment I had to have in the natural or whether it was a miraculous healing, God was going to get me through. I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would live and not die. So I went to Limelight to receive my healing and bumped into Kat and ended up praying for Kat, who had a lump. I've shared this before, but she had, it just was such an amazing faith-building experience as well as a huge blessing and healing for Kat that as I was praying for her, literally Jesus healed the lump and it disappeared under my fingers. And it was the lump the size of a marble on her spine and it was hard. And it disappeared. And it was just amazing because then my own faith levels, you know, rose that, you know, God, you really are doing this stuff in our midst, you know. And that was just incredible. So, yeah, I feel like, yay, Kat. And there were so many other things that he had built in sort of from the January to the point where I got the cancer diagnosis. There was the word about the fire and water going through. Randy Clark did some awesome teaching. And you know when certain phrases just jump out of you. And one thing he said, it was so simple, it was, we stand on the rug of grace. We stand on the rug of grace to minister healing others and to receive. That, you know, it's about the finished work of the cross, his righteousness, what he's done on our behalf, his blood covering us to do it, to receive and to minister, not about us having all our ducks in the row. And that just released me to just be a child with my daddy, if that makes sense, and to receive his goodness and not feel that I had to go on a hunt to, you know, do you know what I mean? I knew he had this, that he was going to bring it. It wasn't about me getting it all right. There was also Alice's talk on handling disappointment, where she, there were just such key points in there that I just want to bring them up again about. It really rescued me from not getting stuck in the whys, keeping myself out of fear. It was that just bring your wound to God. Just bring your wound to God, whatever that is, whatever, you know, whatever you're facing, let him clean it out. Be real with him. And what was so key for me was, I'm a why girl. I like to know the whys of everything. I like to analyze everything. But I feel very delivered out of that at the moment. It's like you're not always going to get to know the whys of why you're facing what you're facing or why you're walking through what you're walking through. But you will get peace, healing, and connectedness when you bring your wounds to him or your mountains to him or whatever you're facing to him. There was that very clear word, where else would I go? He's the one with the words of life. And then from that place, when he's sort of comforted you and built you up, then you can contend for your breakthrough. But warts and all, crying to your God was my place to start. And there's a wonderful quote that says, sometimes we want greater clarity when what we need is deeper trust. Another key that I wanted to share that got me through was communion. Alice briefly mentioned covenant the other day, and I know we're going to look at that in more depth. But for me, that kind of just was, it didn't feel like a religious thing to do. I do it a lot on my own anyway. To me, it's he brings me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He prepares a table, you know, in the presence of my enemies. My enemy at this point being sickness. So I would just sit with God and quietly do it. It reminded me of covenant exchange, the concept that, you know, everything I am in exchange for everything he is, and just staying in that finished work of the cross. His body broken for me, you know, by his stripes I am healed. And again, that rug of grace, you know, his blood covering me. I'm righteous and in right standing with God to receive everything he has for me, not because I'm perfect and blameless and sinless in my daily walk, but because I stand under his blood and his covenant. So that was key. The other thing was one of Jesus's really simple teachings, speak to the mountain. You know, just speak to the mountain. In this case, it was sickness. I was like, I don't want you, sickness. Mountain, meet God. And in, that just gave me that perspective of, you know, no matter what our prognosis, those two very simple words, but God. So no matter what we're facing, whether it's lack or, you know, relationship breakdown or sickness or just wanting to minister to other people around us, those two words, but God, were massively huge. But back to the story. So at the same time, the Koreans came to Hope. A lot of you might have experienced them. They moved powerfully in the Holy Spirit. They came to Wildfire on Friday. I received a lot of prayer from them. They didn't know. They were just praying. Unbeknownst to me, just before I walked through the door, one of the leaders had declared the room a cancer-free zone, which I had no idea they'd done that. And then again on Hope, Sheena Tranter was at that meeting, who also prayed with me. She stood in her authority as a surgeon and declared my, and as a minister to the Lord, and declared my neck and body cancer-free. And then on the Sunday, there was also an amazing prayer time with the Koreans. But I can't pinpoint. For me, the healing was just kind of, I feel like it was a process. It was all of that. It was declaring his words. It was staying in intimacy with him. It was not declaring verses over myself to not kick into fear, and the prayer of, you know, faithful friends and powerful ministers. It was all of it. So then I started contacting people saying, right, I know God shifted something. I really believe I'm healed, but I don't believe it would be responsible or the right thing to step out of the medical process I was in. I felt it was right to carry on in that. But Lord, would you intervene? Because my surgeon's quite gung-ho and just wants to take the whole thing out. And I believe it's healed, and I would be ashamed to take out a perfectly good thyroid. So I arrive on the day, and people are praying that, you know, God will intervene in this process medically. And he just sits me down. He's a lovely chap, and he says, "We've changed our mind." I'm like, and it sounds bizarre, but I had a real sense of peace, but I also had a real nervous excitement the day of my operation, which isn't normal. And so as he told me, I just grinned. I didn't say anything, but I just had the sense. So what they decided to do was take out the half that has a lump in it, run it to oncology while I was under general. He was very dour about it. He wasn't happy about this choice. It wasn't his, because he felt he was then going to have to just remove the rest anyway because I'd be riddled. And so I just smiled and said, okay. Went under general, woke up hours later to find out I still have half a perfectly functioning thyroid. The section had been rushed to the lab, and they couldn't find a single trace or a single cell of cancer. But again, they were skeptical, so he wasn't very happy about this. They obviously got the wrong slice. So they were going to send the rest of it off that week, and the whole half would be, not the half they'd left in, they were leaving that, but the other half to just dissect the lot, and he was unhappy because he'd probably have to take out the rest at a later date, at which point I was still smiling. So that was on the Wednesday. The following Monday, I get a call. I'm up and about. I'm out of hospital. I think I was at Henley's Lakes with the kids, and a couple of people from Hope, Kate Webb, happened to be there. And I get the call from my consultant, and he's scratching his head. You can hear it in his voice. And he's going, we've dissected the rest of your thyroid, and there's no trace of cancer. So at this point, I launched into a story about how I'd been prayed for, and I did drop the consultant surgeon's name in. He'd prayed for me because I thought it might make me sound less nuts because he knew her. He was quite quiet, and then he said, well, I can't say anything. All I can say is you're cured. And I went, thank you, I'll have that. I am cured. I am cancer-free. I don't need radiotherapy. I don't need thyroxine. And God is good. And that's it. But there was one thing I wanted to read, because this is a word I got that I want my testimony to release hope, because I've listened to so many testimonies where other people have had their breakthroughs or their healings, and you're still struggling for yours, or you could think of many other people that are struggling for theirs. And I just wanted it to just release hope and courage and boldness that we don't have to have everything right in our own lives to receive from a God who loves us. And we also do not have to be perfect Christians to minister healing to others and to see miracles happen, because I assure you I'm neither. And this is a word I got, but I feel it's from somebody else. But I really feel it's for all of us. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Lift your voice with boldness. He will give you his words to speak. Speak with the voice of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you speak, those mountains will move. Angels will be activated and sickness will have to flee. Do not say, I am too old, I'm too young, I'm too inexperienced, or I haven't got everything right. Before you were born, he has ordained this, and he will put his words in your mouth. So tear things down, root things up, build up. He will watch over his words to perform it as you speak. Amen."
Thank you, Rachel. It's amazing. We really take seriously that prophetic word that Bristol will be a healing city in the UK. And Silas and Annie have started monthly Friday, they're called Wow Evenings, where every time someone will share a testimony of healing. And don't we find that it takes territory and our faith is built when we hear that God can just, he can just dissolve a lump. He creates out of nothing and he can dissolve things which come against him and his plans. So we bless that and we walk in it and we contend for it and we fight for it because we are about the wholeness of the kingdom now. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for Rachel's testimony. I thank you that we have every week, we're having testimonies now of your breakthrough in people's lives, maybe where people met you, where they were healed by you, maybe it's current testimony, where it's a long, but every single week we're going to have testimonies because that builds faith and then worship to break through into your presence, which you are always with us, but to really come into that reality and walk in that reality everywhere we go. Amen.
Amen. Please feel free to stand with me. I just want to share just quickly, Rachel, as you were sharing this passage that I've been reading and came back to mind. It's from Psalm 16. At the end of it says, "I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with your eternal pleasures at your right hand." I just want to start from that. And as you were saying, as you were finishing, there's that thing that we cry out to God for. There's that thing that, you know, we want to see breakthrough in. And it's only in his presence that we get to see that come. And I just want to spend this time, you know, it might be slightly unstructured to begin with, but let us just start declaring his goodness. Let's start, you know, pursuing him because he is the one that will see us through.